everyone, my name is Vishnu Kaushal and welcome back to Outcast, a podcast where I invite people, cool people, people cooler than me.
Cool people.
Yeah, and we just talk, chill. So this is Manu.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Manu Chaturvedi.
I'm Manu Vishnu Kaushal.
Yes, and Vishnu is supposed to introduce me.
And I can't. Cool. Anyway, so abhi se iske baad se, we're just going to have the conversation between us. We'll just, let's say, camera, YouTube, sorry, my friend. But yeah, so yeah, for the people who are like listening abhi or
right.
watching,
right.
I really want you to just tell a little about yourself and like, then we can go from there.
Okay, so I'm Manu Chaturvedi. I'm a lawyer based in Delhi. I also teach once in a while. And I am new to social media. Due to a multiplicity of factors, I've ended up on social media. And basically, Vishnu and I met through a common friend or someone I'm dating.
We
met on a picnic. It was way more relaxed than this atmosphere. But so we met at the picnic, and we had one of our first conversations. And then thereafter, we met on a comments thread.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we met on a comment thread. On a post by someone who we both respect.
Yeah.
You know personally, yeah. I don't know her.
I don't know her personally.
I don't know her personally. And it had to do with Kunal Kamra's, Kunal Kamra, the comedian's, basically genial post about Madhu, the BJP youth wing leader. And there was a lot of outrage around the fact that Kamra had, in some manner of speaking, tried to normalize a right-winger who apparently is...
I knew this conversation would be political. I didn't know he would be
as badly. Oh, sorry. This is my attempt at surprising Vishnu. All conversations tend towards politics. But that's how we met. So I had taken an unfortunate... stand according to many people, but Vishnu and I think both agreed on what we were saying, and we decided that we should do a podcast, and so here I am.
I am so glad you're here, because I've been itte time se na, I've been trying to like, so I'm making a list of people I want on the podcast, right? And every time something happens somewhere there, like the studio wasn't available and stuff like that. Guys, we have a studio, right? If you're listening right now, guys, please watch it on YouTube as well, because watch time, money, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, but I'm so glad that everything like sort of happened ekdam se, like it was a Monday, I guess, Monday or Tuesday, and like, hey Manu, let's do a podcast, long form and edited conversation. And like, it was like, yeah. But you also wanted to do a podcast, right?
Yeah.
You've
so,
been wanting to do a
so
podcast.
So Vishnu so that comment was the foreshadowing. And then you sent me a DM saying, hey, hey, hey. And I said, yo. And then you said, do you want to be on my podcast? And I said, oh, you didn't even say you want me to be on your podcast. You said, do you want to be on a long form, unedited podcast? That was the phrase.
I have to put it like that to everyone, because when I do say podcast, I'm like, yeah, interview hoga, usme kya hoga ki matlab edits honge, usme kya hoga ki acha acha hoga? No.
No, that's a great way of putting it, because that's exactly what I have been trying to do for many years, but I'm a lazy ass. No, honestly, I keep making excuses as to I don't want to do this, I don't know how to do it, but I've also at the same time not just understood generally the value of having long form unedited podcasts or conversations, because there's a certain level of authenticity which is now missing from all conversation.
Absolutely.
Be it on the left, be it on the right, everything is 2-3 minutes curated, edited. In that, people try to look for authenticity.
Yeah.
So in that you have, I never knew this term, influencers, right?
Till you
4 months ago.
Till you dated one,
till I dated one. In fact, I didn't know that I was dating one for 3 weeks.
Really?
Can get that story later.
That's the story I
want
to get into.
Yeah, okay.
So
I didn't, don't kill me. Especially because I'm sitting in her temple, seeing all
this.
These
is actually the exact place where Dolly has made.
I know. I've seen a few
5,000 videos.
I know, man. Yeah. This is exactly the place. So when I walked into it, I was like, oh, I've been here many times. In my nightmares. No, I'm kidding. So I didn't know. So most of these influencers, right? So they're categorized in many ways, but one of the categories of looking at influencers, these sort of switchover, half media, half journalist, half comedian people, is to look at them and categorize them as authentic and inauthentic, right? And I think while that has always been the pursuit of people, to look at what is authentic versus what is inauthentic, that's like an instinct. But I think what's also sort of catalyzed that process and made people look for it is the fact that you have very short curated content, right? It's edited, it's well curated, you know there's a team behind it, you know there's a setup behind it. There's a setup behind this as well. Yep. And then, but you also feel from there, and for good reason, that there is an agenda behind it. Right? Arey, ye toh left hai, ya ye toh right hai, politically speaking. Yeah, if it's like a Bollywood thing, then it's like, oh, you know, this is from that camp, this is from that camp. Oh, they don't touch on that topic because this person is, let's say, for some reason indebted or disincentivized from talking about, let's say, you know, I don't know if I can say it, but, you know, a lot of actors...
Say it.
Well, Salman Khan, for instance. You know, you'll find very little on... you'll find very few discussions about Salman Khan.
Right? Generally that is speaking. True. That is
like
true.
A true, authentic discussion. Anyway, so the point...
From Bollywood, right?
I'm just using that as an example. You will find that people are able to catch on to that. Right? But at the same time, there is also an intrinsic need for us to be entertained. So we go online where things are readily available and we look at these 2-3 minute ka content which is easily consumable.
Yeah.
And we love it.
Right. But exactly this, that's why I've been feeling this since a while now, that we're in a very weird culture right now. This is the exact thing I said to you on the phone as well. Like, either the time, attention span of a person is 1 minute, 50 seconds, or it's 3 hours. Because what's happening right now, like for example, someone we both really like, Joe Rogan, right?
Apparently, Rogan Josh.
Rogan Josh, yeah. His content is consumed by more people than the whole of America's news network. Like 3.2 billion downloads. Billion.
Oh, billion? Billion downloads
a year.
I've never downloaded a Joe Rogan podcast, but I listen to it very often.
But yeah.
But I know what your point is,
but,
right?
I mean, the attention, like there is... For sure, something that's happening, that there is a lot of attention in podcasts. Like, people are actually giving 3 hours to one content piece. Like, can you imagine giving attention, like proper attention to a stranger, someone you never met, 3 hours in one day? That is ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. But I think you can go finer into that, right? And there's more, I think there's more nuance, but I'm not entirely certain that I am necessarily being, you know, exacting or certain or in any way correct about finding that nuance. But I feel there are 2-3 things at play, right? So firstly, with Joe Rogan, why is he the biggest podcaster? Because he was one of the first podcasters. Right? Yep. And if you look at his podcast, right, you'll realize one of his initial podcasts is just sitting with a lot of conspiracy theorists, like himself. He was one too, you know.
And so people smoked up and...
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and when it was illegal in California, right? But because of the whatever laws there. People went on a journey with Joe Rogan, right? And more people added on as it went forward. And he basically suddenly became super famous when people were looking. There was this opportunity structure. There was this opportunity in the middle where everybody was feeling ki, you know, we need this, an authentic mediator for a conversation.
Yep.
Someone who can give their point of view, but do 2 things. Qualify their point of view with their ignorance, relative ignorance, and say, I don't know, right?
Yeah.
And secondly, challenge the other side while saying that I don't have a horse in the race. Right? So Joe Rogan did both of those things very effectively. Now, whether it's by design, people who don't like him will say, ye toh janbujh ke karta hai. People who have followed him or who have not followed him, but people like me, that's why I say they're probably right, will notice that he has always been on that heuristic plane. Heuristic means that you... Like, I watch Vishnu grow up for 10 years. And I realized, oh, Vishnu was this kind of person. Now he's this kind of person. I watched him closely. So he took people on that journey. So Joe Rogan's particular appeal and his massive audience is not simply a function of people want to watch 3-hour podcasts. I think he, in a way, contributed to people actually watching a 3-hour podcast in parts or whatever.
For sure he did. I mean, yeah, it is because of him as well. Like, there is no doubt in that.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I think like podcast as an industry, the shift in India, not so much, but in American, in the West, like the culture of podcast, like people, like radio used to be really big, right? Television came. you know, television came, then the internet came. The internet was actually just, let's say, 3 or 4 years late. Like, the internet boom in India was a couple of years later than, like, the blogging community, where it was, like, everyone was blogging at one point. Everyone was fashion blogging at one point of time. Komal Pandey was one of the first people to do, one of the first people who got onto the
fashion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Komal Pandey and a lot of other people. Hmm. And right now, she's one of the biggest names in...
Oh, really? I'm kidding. I know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But it's similarly with the like the thing that like jo bhi wahan like in the West, whatever the culture is, like it India slowly catches up in like a couple of years, in 3 years.
Are you saying that we are an imitative culture?
Not
That's too simplistic.
Yeah, it's too simplistic, but in the sense that, I mean, there is sort of like some copying, not copying, I'd say, but in the sense that we see, okay, that's working. Maybe that's not working. We have a lot of Eastern influence as well at the same time.
Right.
But
I mean, look at Russell Brand's podcast. He has a Bhagwa background. I'm just kidding. He has a saffron background. And he's into the whole Eastern...
He said
Eastern...
Bhagwa. B-H-A-G-W-A. Not Bhagwa.
Not B-N-D. That's for Deepak Chaurasia. But just kidding. Oh. That's also for the other guy. What is the other guy's name? The little one with the irritating face. I've forgotten his name. You know what I'm talking about.
Deepak Chopra.
No, that's Deepak Chaurasia as the space astronaut. And then there is the other one who's on television. He looks like
Ravish Kumar.
No, Ravish Kumar is lovely.
What is his name? Z-News wala, you're talking about.
Sudhir Chaudhary, I gave up on Sudhir Chaudhary.
Who are we talking about?
Uske to itne fake safed baal hain ki wahi se samajh jao.
Fake safed baal.
But wo ek aur hai yaar, jo aise lagta hai, jo school mein hote hai na, jinka sab mazak udate hai. Unki shakal hi aisi
hoti hai. Kis pe aata hai wo?
Sorry, but wo aata hai ek channel pe, pata nahi.
Sorry, mat bolo, shakal hai to.
Aata hai, meri nani dekhti hai, unse pooch sakta hun. But, so anyway, what we talking about? We're talking about...
Yeah, anyway, I want to also come back to the Kunal Kamra bit.
Right.
Like, I want to like sort of understand the nuance that goes behind the two mentalities. And I want to just dig a little deeper into that, because I've barely had the opportunity to talk about this with someone who sort of can play on both sides, can defend both sides and critique both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So let's sort of critique left, right and center.
Right, so three sides. But I don't look at it as left, right and center. I think left, right, although it has great relevance today to look at the so-called political spectrum from left, right and center, they're firstly very ambiguous terms. Hmm. Right. Secondly...
I'm starving.
I hope the camera catches the...
literally starving. Yeah. Like, grrr, okay, yeah.
So, coming back to it, right? So the left is also starved. But,
so between it, huh?
The proper way of looking at it, I guess, let's keep to the left-right binary and the center in the middle. Right? Hmm. So, the Kunal Kamra quote-unquote controversy, you have to sort of go back to that Arnab Goswami incident. Hmm. Right? Hmm. And in fact, you can go further back. You can start from Va Modi Ji Va with Ramit.
Mm.
When they did those t-shirts.
I
mean, this is I'm not an expert, but this is where I remember the controversy starting. Where there was a select group of people who might have been large in quantity, I'm not sure, who basically opposed the idea of, in a way, sort of platforming or giving a brand to Modi via ridicule. Who said this Va Modi Ji Va? So there was a group of people who said this Va Modi Ji Va is not very constructive. Because what you're doing is you're baiting. And anybody who is outside your echo chamber, who's not part of your choir, will look at it and double down on their team and say, oh, this is an ad hominem personal attack on Modi or on Vishnu. And because I'm friends with Modi or Vishnu or I agree with them, then that means these people are just in the business of ridicule. So there's no constructive engagement. There's nothing like saying, oh, Modi ji, you have done this and now therefore... you should take these corrective steps. It was more like Va Modi Ji Va. And Ramit Verma's work, Ramit Verma's work and Kunal Kamra's work of being human and whatever provided context to it. So there were people who said this is not constructive. Then there were people
who
said...
Who are these people?
I don't know. Like, there are lots of people on the internet. There are people in the comments section.
No, but it's a very famous thing. Na? People don't have ideas, ideas have people, right? So I think all these... all these people must sort of come from one side of the... Not side of the one... Let's say string.
Right. So, what I'm going to say is that I I won't pretend to be an expert at this. I'm giving you my opinion. And plus, I don't know who these people are. Okay, now, it's very easy to say these are the people who study in English and sociology departments of a certain university, left-leaning university. Okay. Okay. And then that's needless vilification and generalization. So that's probably not the case. It's just different kinds of people.
Right.
Who came out saying that I agree with this point of view, that this is not constructive. Hmm. Another group of people who had a problem with Kamra and Ramit's style of approaching via ridicule was, don't platform Modiji at all. You know, don't make it about Modi. Hmm. This is much wider than Modi.
Hmm.
Right? So that was one critique. That's where the first, that's where I got into it. And I thought about it. And to be honest, I am not on either side even now.
Exactly.
I'm not even sure about it.
It's sort of a valid critique, but then it's also like the spirit of humor, right?
Right. And then you get into, okay, what is the context? Right. And then you realize, well, the context is twofold. One is that here is a comedian and whose role is also changing. And Ramit, who was in the business of editing videos, whose role is also changing. They themselves are, their political philosophy and what they see themselves as participants of a movement or of whatever, of a critique culture, they are also changing as it goes. So at any rate, I looked at it as a process.
Mm.
And for me, personally, I thought, oh, here is a comedian who is doing his bit, right? In the face of immense pressure, right? Not just some ambivalent, generic political pressure, right? Which I might face because I'm not even that famous.
Mm.
But this is a high-stakes game that he's playing. It's not some low-stakes critique. It's a high-stakes critique, right? He's playing at a level where what he says gets to a wider audience and what he says is interpreted by many people in the political industry to mean that let's mobilize against him.
Mm.
Let's call this guy out. Let's troll this guy. Let's produce fake news items on this guy. Let's ridicule him. So he was playing at that game. And he was doing it very effectively. For me personally, I found it extremely funny. I found it extremely enlightening.
Mm.
And I found that people around me who were watching it, just because of the levity sometimes, of the humor involved, they would get pulled in. And then they would understand, there is more to this than just taking one side. This is more of a critique. But principally, because it was funny, right? That's a comedian's job. That's what he was sticking to. Then, in the wake of this, Kanhaiya Kumar happened. He went and went to...
uska wo karne kahan, where campaigning.
Where did he...
Uski constituency mein, Bihar mein.
What is the constituency? Here we are displaying our ignorance, mutual ignorance of what is the constituency here? Anyway.
Can you look it up, please?
Hariyar, it's very, very...
it's a catchy...
This is escaping my mind. Anyway, so he went and campaigned for it, so he became overtly political.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I again saw it as, oh my God, look at where the country is at.
Comedians are...
Look at how many people are taking a stand for and against. And who is doing it? Let's be very clear. Okay, the use and the mobilization of media and entertainment industry for the explicit purpose of appealing to the masses was started in earnest and in a very organized manner by the current government. So the right started it. The right is the first so-called right. The BJP was the first party which was able to very efficiently utilize and mobilize social media, was able to bring by actively seeking out and engaging, and through a system of whatever incentives there are, saying that you come out in support of this policy. That's why you have a Vivek Agnihotri. That's why you have all these other people. That's why you have an Anupam Kher. And now, to me, it feels like the left is trying to, or the left-leaning members of the industry, of entertainment, media, whatever walk of life, are now trying to mobilize reactively to it.
Yep.
So for anybody to come and criticize that, either from within that left or from the right and say, oh, you're being overtly political. Or, oh, you are being, you are exceeding your brief. If you are exceeding your brief, then, you know, take, you know, mind your words to this extent, because I feel that I will patronize what you are saying and I will tell you what is the ideal thing to say. I think that is, that lacks nuance, firstly. Firstly, it lacks a sort of a framework of contemporary history in which this is happening, right? Recent history. And secondly, more power to all these people. Whoever is speaking their mind can speak their mind.
Yeah.
I shouldn't expend my energy. You know, there's a very interesting, I think it's Manu Joseph, my namesake, who I have both hated and liked simultaneously, who comes out and says that India, I think in one of these articles, he comes out and says that it's amazing that India expends, or Indian activists or whoever, the public at large, expends so much energy, so much of their political energy and capital, arguing about things which are relatively of lesser consequence than the bigger picture. So he's basically making an accusation that prioritize. Right. So I feel all these accusations around Kunal Kamra, all these discussions can happen, but the high-pitched nature...
That is so true.
The adversarial nature of, oh my God, Kunal Kamra, the poster boy of anti-fascism, who has usurped this position somehow, and is coming out and saying this BJP leader is... returns my calls.
Yeah, but that's a very decent dialogue to have. Like in principle, like liberalism has always been about free speech and having a dialogue, being able to have a dialogue with
absolutely
all over the platform of this political spectrum.
So I'd go one step back. Sorry to interject, right? So before we get to the importance, the utility of free speech, let's just stick to that, right? So what is it that we are agreeing upon? What is it that I'm saying? I am saying, fine, there might be a legitimate critique of it. The method and manner of conveying that critique, the time and space for for putting that critique out, there is an optimal time for me, and there is a less than optimal time to do it. I felt it was not optimal. I felt the tone and tenor wasn't optimal, but I'm nobody to say anything. So I'm just pitching in. I'm not saying shut it down. You do whatever you want. That's what I feel. You do whatever you want. Because that is the level of, I'm allowing Kunal Kamra the same opportunity. I'm saying you do whatever you want. I just feel, personally, his work is good. Secondly, he's doing whatever he wants. He's also figuring it out.
Yeah.
And he's not doing something which is, I feel in any way, taking opportunity away from someone or saying that, oh, I am the only person who is anti-fascist here. There's enough space for everyone. That is when you come to the idea of free speech.
But that's what happens when someone sort of comes to a position where his or her voice is being heard. Like in a day or two, you expect that person to be like right all the time. You expect that person to know everything. You expect that person to not make mistakes. And I think that's what Kunal Kamra and people who sort of like, if tomorrow Kanhaiya Kumar does anything which is against leftist or radical leftist for that matter principles, then he's going to get a lot of bashing from the left, keeping in mind he's done so much for the left. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so again, the way I look at it is very simply to reduce it. The right lets go of things as long as you're on the right. The left is in the business of critiquing.
Which is good,
exactly.
Most of the time.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I'm just saying, personally, I feel prioritize.
Yeah. Right?
Convey it, prioritize, don't make him out to be a devil.
Devil.
That's what I felt.
Absolutely.
So I just felt that you are in a situation where your own cases, I might not say that, your own case, so the people who are critiquing it, is that, oh, India is in such a state of disarray that we all need to band together and be allies and, you know, reach across the aisle. Let's say, I can be an atheist and an agnost and believe in liberal values and I can still stand together with a devout Muslim who we might not agree with once we start having that conversation. But we both are clever enough to keep quiet about it.
Yep.
Because we know there is a higher purpose, ideal that we are trying to achieve. So you and I know it. It's not like we are unaware of it. But then we will carve out from that understanding certain people, certain individuals, and there is no clear delineation of how we do that.
Right.
And we will take them out and we will say, this person, by the way, Kunal Kamra, he said this. This is so wrong.
That is so fucking true.
Now, tomorrow it might go south. Tomorrow, I am saying, I am willing to admit, discount for the possibility that tomorrow it might be the case that this guy Madhu, whatever his full name is, the BJP youth leader who Kunal Kamra did the Shut Up Ya Kunal interview with, iske bare mein tweet kiya tha usne. Tomorrow it might be the case that he rides on that wave. Ki look, Kunal Kamra thinks that I am better than the rest. And he might turn out to be the next bigot, let's say. Well, some people say he's already a bigot, but he might turn out to exceed the expectations of people. And it might well turn out that he rode the wave. I am willing at this stage, when I think that there are two strategies involved in dealing with the situation. One is to patronize Kamra and say, look, Kamra, that's a very stupid thing to do. Look what happened. Look what you're going to do. Well, that's one of the possibilities. The other possibility, it might not happen. So who am I to be the patron in chief, to be the voice of everyone and say, look, Kunal Kamra is doing this? But I'm not sure.
At the same time, will it be really bad if there's a leader of the right who likes having conversation with the left? Like if he, let's say, if he rides that wave, right? His prince, I think if he's young and still being able to talk with people on the left, like someone like Kunal Kamra, right? It's not a bad situation, right? I mean, you stop seeing those people as rightists or leftists. You just want like the best for the country and actually the best for your people you love, right?
Absolutely. So in principle, I completely agree with you. There is no problem with you on the right and me on the left being able to have a conversation. I think where people start fearing things is when, for instance, happening in India, various state and non-state actors who have the support of the state start ratcheting up to a point where they say that, and it's very clear, some leadership disagrees, but they talk in multiple voices, but it's very clear that there is a strain that has persisted for a very long time and now has been legitimized, which is, let's say, theek hai yaar, we fear Muslims. You have to watch out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or there is nothing wrong with Hinduism at all. Similarly, there's a strain which says there's nothing wrong with Muslims don't want Sharia. I'm sure there's a group of Muslims who want Sharia, right? Asaduddin Owaisi, who everybody now calls, or some people now call the poster child of, like a very nice debater, his speeches anyone can watch and figure out that he's also an opportunist.
Right now, I don't know what happened to him. He's very politically correct. Unlike his brother, younger brother, he's like all out.
Exactly, right? So then, the point that I'm trying to get at is, it might so happen that you and I can agree in principle that the left and the right should talk. But what is the context, right? Why are people angry? I get it. People are angry and upset over Kunal Kamra because they feel that in their opinion, Kunal Kamra is an unwitting fool who is engaging with the right, or he thinks he's so overconfident that he feels that, this person is a friend of mine, whereas these people are not. But that's not in his particular example, that's not what he was doing at all. The problem is people have opinions and opinions and opinions, and when people become so patronizing that they say, you don't know, I will tell you. Right? And when that happens, then you try to tell them, okay, you know certain things, I know certain things, let's have a conversation about it. Then it becomes about where are you having a conversation. So that comment, that post that had come on Instagram by that I Awaken person, it was a post. Now, I've also posted many things where once I've posted it, some controversy has happened and then I'm trying to deal with the after effects of the controversy, and I realized the medium does not allow me to deal with it effectively. So firstly, I realized that once I made that comment and once a discussion happens like it happens on Twitter, maybe that's not the medium to have that discussion.
You're probably very smart to figure that out from one
instance. No, I mean, it's a general
thing. You're really smart, because it took me like 2.5 years of just painstaking typing and just doing these comments in chats to realize, dude, this doesn't work. Like, conversation don't work on text. Like, So I had this really weird incident, right? So exactly what we're talking about, the priority thing, right? I matched with this girl on Tinder, right? And we're having this conversation. All good.
I love that this has gone suddenly.
No, but it's a really cool story, right? So we're having this conversation and all that stuff, and she's like, "Oh, you're what's your political?" Her bio said political something, right?
Right. Very political.
I'm a liberal. I'm left of center.
It's either politics or it's Pearl Academy. What do you mean? Go on. That was a joke, guys. I have this.
So and. She's like, there's no such thing as being left of center. You're either a radical leftist. I told her explicitly, I'm not a radical. I'm not, my ideas aren't polarized because I'm 22, first of all, and I have a limited information that is with me because I've barely experienced life in a way that has impacted me or the people around me.
You're trying to qualify your politics by saying, look, I'm also a person. This is what I've experienced till now.
Yeah.
I might experience more things tomorrow. These are my points of ignorance. This is what I know.
Exactly.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And that person is saying, no, no, no.
No. If you don't agree with me that pronouncing women, no, writing women as WOMXN isn't the right way of writing women. I'm like, I mean, you can tell me your side of it.
And I'm going to die, discussion.
I can hear your side of it.
Haan.
But the thing is that I can't agree with you right away. And I probably, as of now, I don't buy into that concept. Unless you are really good with your explanation.
But what concept don't you
then
buy into?
Then she unmatched for instance, me.
Do you not buy into the... So, her way of telling you that you either agree with me or you don't.
Mm.
In which case...
Of course that.
In which case, yeah. For the purpose of being on Tinder is to sort of like, you know, whatever. Date, fornicate, whatever. But that will not happen if we don't agree politically. Are you opposed to that framing? Or are you opposed to the concept of Womex and whatever that thing is?
Right. First, So I'm a comedian, right? I'm nothing more than that. Yeah. I just make jokes. That's about it. It's funny to me.
Okay.
It's a little funny to me. I understand the idea of like calling a fireman a fire person and stuff like that, right? Because it makes sense. There should be.
Right.
Like you can't, you can't control the outcome ki kitni fire women hongi, kitni fire men bharti honge. But you should call it a fire person. You should call it a male person. You should call
that. You can make it gender non-specific.
Yeah. You should make it gender neutral for that matter.
Neutral. Yes.
Yeah. But like there's a term human, right? Man comes from that term and woman, let's say, in my head. In my head, woman doesn't come from man. In my head, human, then man and woman.
Right.
That's what it is in my head.
Right.
Now, if someone explains to me, if someone is willing to have a conversation, and maybe there's a room for a mutual sort of thing, I'm like, sure, but like, how will you pronounce it? If you're pronouncing the same thing and writing it differently, how is it any different
or any
better?
I think it's Ms. So there's Mr., there's Miss, and then there's MX, which is gender neutral, which is Ms. I know this because I was in Berkeley.
Oh, right, of course. Which, of course.
Where I ran from.
Of course.
So this discussion would be very... No, I didn't run from there. Like all things, it has its good points, it has bad points, and I personally felt... some of it was overdone or unnecessary. So let's come back to what you were saying, right? So people frame this very differently, right? Some people say that the objectives are great. Right? And of course they are. Who doesn't want equality of opportunity?
Absolutely.
Right? And if that equality of opportunity can be granted and it can lead to equality of outcome, that would be ideal, right? But it has to be equality of opportunity leading to equality of outcome. Some people say, let's have equality of outcome. Right? That's another debate, right? In that framing, in that historical oppression, which is based on gender and sex, right? I completely understand. Especially in India, forget the Western world.
For sure.
The need to have political activism that is both urgent and in a manner radical, that comes and grabs space, right? That comes and grabs opportunities, that is able to voice its opinion and dissent, and to some extent, even shut down certain elements in society. Because nobody else is helping them, right? It's not as if there is some government or some police thana or the judiciary at large, the place that I come from, or, you know, anybody else, or even families, which come out and say, beta, we will support you. Go out at night at 11 p.m. And there's no chowkidar who says, haan, madam, 11 baje. There's no framing. There's no framework of support. In that system, imagine yourself as an actor in that system, or the victim in that system, or the potential victim, anytime anything can happen in that system. So I completely understand in a country like India where that comes from. And the objectives are completely laudable. And for most part, right, for most part, there's no percentage. For most part, the steps taken in the direction of equality within activism itself, right, with demanding equality, demanding gender neutrality, right, and not just between men and women. There's a huge bunch of intersex people, transsexual people, right? So many. In that LGBTQ, right? All of these disenfranchised groups who have absolutely no scaffolding, no support structure, what will they do? They will have to create institutions in and of themselves. They will have to go to institutions like academia, where at least there is some sympathy, empathy, understanding of what they are saying. And from there, they can launch a movement. Right. So I completely get it. The problem starts arising, I feel, or it starts becoming problematic, is when it becomes increasingly patronizing. Right. Where anybody can attempt to shut you down. Because now that intellectual fountainhead has taken within its fold a lot of political activism. There are people, and of course there are people, just like on the right, you can go from a pure Modi supporter who doesn't understand anything to a person who's more nuanced and says, look, yeah, Modi is at least helping us change, let's say, certain aspects of governance, improving, reducing bureaucratic corruption, if not political corruption. So there are people who are nuanced, right? And we can disagree and agree. Similarly, there are people on the left who will agree, who have various levels of enlightenment or understanding of what is happening. Some people are just purely sympathetic. A lot of those people, right? Now, everybody has an equal platform, let's say, at least to voice themselves. Now, how that carries forward is different, right? That's through algorithms and everything, online at least. Some people will come out and tell you straight up, who have less of an understanding of it, will say, you say Ms., otherwise you are a bigot.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, the word bigot, which the left throws around, bigot means intolerance. It does not mean a hypocrite. So half of the people who say you're a bigot for not saying what they want you to say are actually bigots themselves, who also have a poor understanding of the term. But anyway, so you're a hypocrite, or you're a misogynist, or you are invisibilizing your heteronormative, cisgendered privilege, whatever, will come out and say that. Now, what is their goal? Their goal is not to simply shame you. At least I'd like to believe that their goal is not to simply shame you. Although there is that argument also that these people are only after power. Right? And invariably, there are people who are opportunists who just want to take power, hold power over other people by saying, I know better than you. But usually the objectives are good. That listen here, there is so much gender inequality. There is so much persecution of certain gendered minorities and sexual minorities. Come on. Can you be an ally and say these things? If that is the way you're conveying it to me, I get it, right? But if you're conveying it in this all angry, impassioned manner, then please know that while a person like me, and I can only speak for myself, can understand what your objective is, I don't think the strategy with which you're approaching me is correct. I don't think it's constructive. It contributes meaningfully to your own objective and can even be counterproductive.
This is so weird. This is the exact thing I wrote in the Tinder chat. Back to the Tinder.
So no. she deleted you immediately?
She unmatched me.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to believe that and I want to believe that. But the problem is that it's not helping anyone. And I want us to help, like, the minorities, the LGBTQ community and everything. Like, yeah, sure. But then,
You know, overall, I would much rather err on their side. Right? I would much rather say that it's fine. I can tolerate. But I can live with.
She wasn't wanting to have this conversation is the problem, right? She wrote 5-7 texts. By the time I read it, I was unmatched. I mean, there was no conversation happening.
Right.
Which was the problem? The problem wasn't her agenda or the...
Achha.
The problem was there was no conversation.
The way of communicating. Yeah. She just said accept it or not. So I guess the way of looking at that, the charitable way of looking at that, although me saying charitable will probably piss a lot of people off because... Nobody wants your charity, right? But the charitable way of looking at it is that, okay, again, imagine someone who, for a woman, I've seen my sister, back in the day when she was on an app, before she was married, and I used to see the kind of men who wrote to her, right? And I had no experience of this. And I saw, my God, you have to filter through this. Right. So that is her everyday reality. That is where she's coming from. So the minute she sees someone, if she's political, she will say, okay, tell me this. Do you believe in this? Do you believe in this? Can we get past this? And then, for a person like you, who has not seen that reality, who might even empathize somewhere, but when you're objectively, ki, haan, yaar, jaise main kar raha hoon bhi, ki Vishnu ke saath aisa hua. So I am saying, yaar, I get her point of view also and I get Vishnu's point of view also. But the minute it happens to me or to you, you suddenly start invisibilizing where they come from.
But then, yeah.
That's one factor. That's one way to at least cut against...
Empathize with them.
Sympathize with them, right? Because we've never felt that. So we can't really empathize. We can merely sympathize with them. But I get what you're saying. It is such a hard thing to parse that what eventually you get to is... I do it on a case-by-case basis. I feel when people are overtly... accusatory, overtly adversarial, even when you put across a point of view to them and they keep harping on the same thing, then I come back to the first principles of conversation to judge what they're doing. To judge, can I even participate here, right? So I'll say something like, like the joke I made on Instagram, I said, it's all fun and games till a Chinese man coughs, right? In the midst of the coronavirus.
I want to talk about this. Right? Okay, yeah.
And so a lot of people liked it, but invariably you have people who don't like it, and when they make their dislike apparent, they will do it by way of a comment or by way of a rant on their blogs. You know, famously Bill Burr, who's the comedian, says that, you know, don't respond to it because it's just one blogger writing somewhere. Right? But I am obviously not Bill Burr, so, and I felt very insecure and ye kya bol diya. So I participated in that conversation. A lot of people DM me also. In fact, today someone DM me saying, you know, you're very racist. Hmm. And I left and I said, okay, I get it. That is your accusation. Now let me explain the joke. Right? I also, for my part, believe while you can joke about anything, the nature of the joke and the objective of the joke, we can all critique, right? Even to the point of saying that that is not just unsavory, that should ideally not happen, right? So, for instance, if somebody in a Nazi meeting, in one of their beer hall meetings in Germany, imagine in, let's say, 1930s, was to crack a joke on Jews, you wouldn't say it's just a joke, right? You would say, man, that is the use of humor to perpetuate the persecution of a minority which is under existential threat from these very people. So you would obviously reject it. So the idea that, oh, all humor, all jokes work, all rape jokes work, all jokes involving races work is not true. So I knew that. So I said basically to this one person who I have continuing conversations with now and then, who had a problem with it, that look, the intention of this joke, at least when I was framing it, was look at my foolish insecurities. That how I'd imagine it is if I'm in a subway and I see a Chinese person.
All right, we had a little break. Had to take a little break because camera or because card full ho gaya tha. So I think now we're getting back to the point where we left off. I think you were talking about subway, Chinese man, and coronavirus.
So I was basically saying that that people might have had a problem with the notion that the intent of the joke was racist, right? And so it was playing into the stereotype, which was
the narrative that
which was that helping persecute
their existence.
Chinese people. They're saying, oh, look, there is a coronavirus, which it's true. It's there and it's really, really a grave situation. And look, people, when they see a Chinese person, and there are many instances of this, are subjecting them to racist comments, racist attacks, racist exclusion on the basis of their half-baked information of coronavirus, or the fact that this exists is catalyzing their racism, right? Giving it some space. And they said, and your joke is playing into that. Now I get that, right? I get that that is then going to the intent of the joke, right? Now I say to that, that when people put such comments, I said, look, I get what you're doing. I understand. So let me clarify. The intent of the joke is to make fun of a person like me who might be traveling on a bus or in a metro metro and see someone who is Chinese or who looks Chinese and they cough, and then I am all worried, right? And so I am trying to make light of the fact that my ignorance coupled with my ability to discriminate between people who look dissimilar or who belong to certain categories. So my taken together, my ignorance is now perpetuating my insecurity. And I'm making light of that situation. So the intent of the joke was to go like, look how foolish we all are that we see something like this. And so it's all fun and games till a Chinese man coughs.
Yep.
That was the intent. To which they said, your intent doesn't matter. Because once you've put it in public domain, then people will perceive it this way, of which you have no control, which is a great point. Yes, people have no control, right? Now, this is where the argument, insofar as jokes go, of free speech
comes in. Free speech or political correctness.
So, this is, I just want to make this point here, that now, of course, you know, speech can have deleterious effects. It's not like, so people famously like to say, it's not like the persecution of Jews during Nazi Germany started with gas chambers. It started with hate speech. It started with propaganda. So nobody, it would be naive to assume that speech has absolutely no impact and therefore should just run roughshod. Even in America, which is the bastion of free speech, there's a concept called heckler's veto, from which all other notions of controlling speech arise, right? Otherwise, So I'll just a brief segue into the law, right? So America has a, on the face of it in the Constitution, an unencumbered right to say whatever you want. And over the years, there has been various cases, there have been various cases which have laid down some limitations. And those limitations are in the form of concepts which are not perfectly clear, as will always be the case, because there's a judge sitting there. So to help the judge, you will create a notion of hate speech. You will create a notion of speech that, so it's called fighting speech, I've forgotten what it's called. So there are all these concepts. Those are very, compared to India, those are not as restrictive. In India, we have a right to free speech and expression, but we also have a reasonable restrictions on it, which a judge interprets.
Constitutionally, sorry to cut you there. Okay, right. Complete, then I'll ask you that.
So in India, what are the grounds? They're very broad. I mean, you can read anything into those categories. You have public order, morality, decency,
on the basis of
national interest. So these are all restrictions.
And religion as well, I guess.
So, I mean, you can read that into public order, morality. So let's say tomorrow there is someone who, in today's situation, you are critiquing whether Ayodhya was actually the birthplace of Ram or is it mythology, in the sense that a lot of people believe it to be true, and therefore, so you're debating Ayodhya on either side, and some people might go and file a complaint against you in the police, which might lead to a case where a judge then has to determine whether you are allowed, to say this. And the judge might say, in today's circumstances, public order demands that you don't say it. Ab tum karte raho uspe. Theek hai? So there are these restrictions in India, and that's, I mean, there's nothing to be shocked about because ये तो हमेशा होता है. ये BJP नहीं, Congress वाले भी करते थे. जो जितनी banning किताबों की Congress के under हुई है, जितना use of all these so-called draconian, well, they are draconian, of National Security Act, PSA, Public Safety Act in Kashmir, UAPA, Unlawful Assemblies Prevention Act, जिसमें you can just be shut in prison. All of these restrictive laws. Well, it's very clear on a political continuum. It's not the BJP only. It is all. It has been the Congress's prerogative to enforce these laws. Never take it out of the statutory books. The judiciary is also. If you think that these laws shouldn't exist, then the blame lies with the judiciary because they have held these laws to be constitutional. Ki ye laws rehne chahiye. To aap sirf BJP ko nahi blame kar sakte. BJP ne itna zarur kiya hai ki mere hisab se ki itna ratchet up kar diya hai ek public mood ko. Have ratcheted up to such an extent and have vilified so many people that now today in Kashmir, if you access VPN and you make a post on social media, whatever that post is, technically you can be taken to jail under UAP. In fact, 200 people have been detained, right? So now to say that, oh, this is only the BJP's fault, no. Congress party did it famously to that cartoonist who took part in the India Against Corruption movement. So speech is by and large very curtailed in India.
For people who don't understand UAPA, can you just sort of explain?
Well, not just UAPA, there is an entire class of laws, right? You can say there's an entire category of laws that exist in India. Some of them are very specific, so they're called specific statutes, specific laws, which address or at least purport to address certain types of crimes or to prevent certain crimes. So let's say you have the UAPA, which is the Unlawful Assemblies Prevention Act. It's right there in the name. It prevents unlawful assemblies. Now you might ask, what is a unlawful assembly? So an unlawful assembly is basically how the state justifies it. It has happened in Bengal during the Singur. The communists used it. The CPM used it to quell the protests that took place against the Singur power plant. If you remember, Nano Cake factory ban rahi thi Singur mein bahut pehle, 2010-11 ki baat hai shayad. They used it. So they say, look, all these people who are protesting, they are a threat to public order. So we are going to now invoke UAPA to prevent the unlawful assembly of these people. And they will justify it like that. Now you and I can debate whether it's justifiable. We can debate whether UAPA should be enforced here, should be. But the bigger debate, which has already been settled, is should there be a law like UAPA in our country in the first place? Shouldn't it be for a very narrow exception of people? So you can get to narrow exception laws also. You can get to the National Security Act. You can get to the Public Safety Act, which is in Kashmir, which is just like the NSA, which says that this law will only apply insofar as national security issues are concerned, right? But these boundaries are very fluid. So there are these specific legislations which are aimed at curtailing all these activities. Now, why are they problematic? Why are they needed? Of course, there's general law. Ab CRPC mein dal do kisi ko. 144 to sabne suna hai. Ab to Delhi mein bhi aa gaya. हर जगह है, केजरीवाल के फोन की तरह है, कभी भी बच जाता है, लग जाता है ना. तो why not use these? Because these particular laws allow basically the authorities which enforce them a lot of discretion. Ki main, bhai saab, main prescribed authority hu is law mein batane ke liye ki aap jail jayenge, to aap jayenge jail. Aur aapko hum rakhenge jail mein, aapko, we will not take you in front of a magistrate, which is otherwise the law of the land, within 24 hours. We can detain you for so many days in a year without any hearing, without any trial. So they're absolutely what I call colonial laws, you know. Not colonial in the British sense, although the British use these laws, but in the sense that they have a colonial mentality. They have a mentality where there is a master-servant relationship, like a patron-agent relationship between the citizen
and the government.
And the government, which knows better. So the citizen is like, it's a Maibaap relationship, you know. So it's like, we know what we are doing, so we will curtail your freedom of speech and expression, what you get to say. So India has laws like this. America is less restrictive. So I'm just trying to come back to the heckler's veto.
I want to talk to you about that as well. Like under 144, which is quite been used, like abhi aaj raat ko bol diya 144 lag raha hai, kal subah lag jata hai. Like just bus abhi kya aise aaj raat ko kya I went to for should I say that? Yeah, I went for a protest, right? And At the protest there was like 144 lag gaya yahan par ab yahan par nahi ho
disperse kar
ha disperse kar. Is there a certain time frame that needs to be issued to the public ki yaar ab 144 lag raha hai? Because I mean,
okay, so you're saying, is there a notice period?
There has to be something, right? You can't just,
so there can't be a notice period. So I'll tell you why. So in fact, this is a great segue. Give me just 2 minutes, right? So about generally the state of affairs in this country. So, you have 144. Right? Yeah. What is 144? Every law that is applied needs to be applied with some sort of administrative discipline and accountability. I, as a citizen, can go and ask the district magistrate, sir, why are you applying this law? Now, I obviously, that's a foolish thing to assume that I'll go to his house and ask him. To facilitate that accountability, there needs to be a framework. There needs to be some place I can go ask. Yeah. There needs to be some place I can go challenge.
Yeah.
What is that place? The judiciary.
Judiciary.
Right? Our courts. Now, that system exists on paper. Ki agar aapko problem hai 144 lagne se, you think that yahan 144 nahi lagana chahiye. These are the principles that are outlined in previous court judgments. You come, you file a petition saying that these are the principles that that it should not be applied in cases of peaceful protest, so on and so forth. It cannot just be applied arbitrarily. It cannot extend for time immemorial. This is all there in Indian case law. But it's so fluid that once you go to court...
Can we have chai and coffee with 144?
Right, so...
I didn't get the joke.
So...
With coffee, chai.
Oh, right. In a second, I guess.
Yeah. So, basically, the point being, that to your question, is there an outer limit? There is generally the idea of administrative / executive discipline when applying a law. That is assumed. Ki yaar, aapki jo sarkar aayegi, aapke jo bureaucrats honge, kuch to discipline exercise karenge. But agar wahi puri tarike se broken down ho aapka, then these questions start.
Yeah.
Then these questions start. Hey, why isn't there a notice period for applying 144? Why isn't there a criteria? There is a criteria. There's no notice period because look at why 144 exists. It is to deal with emergency situations. But what constitutes an emergency situation should be guided by a framework of laws. That is called the rule of law. Rule of law is not simply, here are the laws, here is the government, they will apply the laws. The rule of law is, here is the law, here is the government, here are the citizens, here are the principles and the notions, the constitutional notions, the spirit of democracy, with which will mediate the application of these laws in an equitable manner across society. What is rule of law? That means the person applying the law should get to apply it and implement it. People should follow it. But if people want to demand accountability from the people applying that law, people should be in a position to demand that accountability, and there should be forums for demanding that accountability. Ab ek one-way process hai is desh mein. Jo sarkar chahegi, kisi ki bhi sarkar ho, wo karenge. Aapko usse problem hai, to sabne bataya hai, court chale jaiye. Aap court jaiye, aap jo ye log bolte rehte na ki police jamia mein police ne nahi kiya hoga, aur kai log kehte hain patharbazi nahi hogi. Aap apni janta ko bhi dekh lijiye, aap police ko bhi dekh lijiye. Aap dono se pure din mukar ke hi chalte hain. कि जब आप गाड़ी में निकलेंगे आप देखेंगे कि कितने फाइन्स कैमरास लगे हैं, लोगों तक फाइन कितना बढ़ गया है. फॉलो कर लो ना, फिर लो जनता को भी नहीं करना. तो यही जनता सिर्फ जेएनयू में भी नहीं जाती है, सड़कों पे भी घूमती है. ठीक है, तो ना इनको कोई क्लीन चिट मिलनी चाहिए, वो भी वहाँ भी थोड़ी प्रॉब्लम है. और पुलिस वालों तो आप सब जानती हैं कि यू नो हाउ वी एंगेज विद पुलिस वाला. सम डे यू ट्राई टू गो रजिस्टर एन FIR, इज द ट्रूथ ऑफ द कंट्री, इज द ट्रूथ ऑफ द कंट्री. देन यू विल रियलाइज कि पर्सनल प्रॉब्लम होगी तो आप खूब गाली दोगे पुलिस वाले. बट इफ इट कम्स टू सम पॉलिटिकल थिंग कि तो आप बोलोगे नहीं नहीं ये सारे स्टूडेंट पत्थरबाज हैं, पुलिस तो सही कर रही थी. या अगर आप दूसरी साइड पे होगे तो बोलोगे सारी ही पुलिस निकम्मी है. आप उसको इस तरीके से देखो यार. अब उसको जब आप ऐसा बोलोगे तो लोग बोलेंगे आपसे कि यार यू तुम अपने प्रिविलेज से बात कर रहे हो, तुम्हें नहीं पता जमीन पे क्या चल रहा है. यू हैव टू टेक अ साइड. आई एग्री यू हैव टू टेक अ साइड एट सम पॉइंट. यू हैव टू टेक अ साइड. यू कैन टेक एन इश्यू बेस्ड साइड विद क्वालिफिकेशन. आई कैन से आई स्टैंड विद द स्टूडेंट्स, बट आई स्टैंड विद द क्वालिफिकेशन विद यू दैट आई हैव दीज रिजर्वेशंस. आई डोंट अग्री that everybody in the army or the police is some sort of oppressive agent. I don't believe that there was no stone pelting. Right, you can be on the right and stand with the right, which should ideally have been the situation. Right, a lot of people who voted this government in power now come out and say, you know, I had these reservations but I stood with them because of Congress was such a kleptocratic government. When Modi ji came, we thought that, you know, it'll be better. So I stood with them saying, okay, I don't agree with these Gaurakshak politics or whatever happens outside of Delhi, which now happens in Delhi. But I agree in principle. You should be able to both retain your individual sense of discriminate inquiry and also be able to stand with and take a side. They're not mutually exclusive. For somebody to demand that you leave aside all your individual opinions and only then you stand with me. Just like that person on Tinder, for instance, who will judge you by one point in the entire manifesto and say that otherwise don't stand with us. That, I think, is completely foolish. And I think it's the same thing that you're expending your energy on something you shouldn't be expending your energy on. And we can deal with it later. We can deal with it simultaneously. But it shouldn't be ki aap is cheez pe disagree karte hain, toh aap nahi manenge. So that whole thing, again, coming back to it, the point that I was trying to make was any law, be it free speech, be it implementation of GST, be it demonetization, be it any other thing in this country, any law, there are enough laws in this country. Trust me, India is one of the most law-heavy countries. There are laws, there are rules, there are regulations, there are office orders, there are administrative orders. You ask a lawyer. तभी तो इतना कमाते हैं वकील इस देश में. कुछ ना कुछ ले ही आते हैं कहीं ना कहीं. तभी तो कोर्ट भी चलता रहता है. देयर इज एनफ लॉ. देयर इज द इंप्लीमेंटेशन नोबडी केयर्स अबाउट. द इंप्लीमेंटेशन एवरीबडी लुक्स एट फ्रॉम द जुगाड़ पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू. कि यार मेरी मामी का जो लड़का है ना वो पुलिस में है, वो करवा देगा आपका काम. और यही लोग लास्ट में आके बोलते हैं कि ये गलत है, ये सही है, ये सही है, ये गलत है. इट्स वेरी वेरी कन्वीनियंट. So implementation of laws matters. That's why that's the problem with CA and RC also. Right?
But before we jump into CA and RC, which I really want to, where you were talking about like the fact when you were talking about 144, when they implement, the government can implement it in state of emergency, which is subjective now, right? So there is nothing. The only comeback for a citizen to that is like to register. To go to the court and ask the register magistrate ki aisa aisa hai ki bhai kya mazak type. That whole process, the time frame of that process versus the time frame of implementing in 144.
Absolutely. So, great, na? So that's exactly, you hit the nail on the head. So that is the problem, na? The implementation side of it, the sarkar side of it is great. Aapko kal chahiye to aaj ho jaye. Matlab, kal chahiye to aaj ho jaye.
Scrapping 1377.
हाँ कि मतलब
हाँ demonetization.
I'm a सरकारी child, so I know. पौवे से हर चीज बहुत immediately. So सरकार wants to do something, it'll be done. But if you are looking for the flip side of it, which is why did you do it? How did you do it? That relationship is completely screwed. Why? Because because in 144 instance, आपने लगा दिया. Now as you said, आपने लगा दिया. अब मुझे protest करना था. अब मैं जा रहा हूँ इसको हटवाने. तो पहले तो मुझे कोई नहीं बताएगा क्यों लगाया गया, तुम चुप बैठ जाओ. दूसरी तरफ आधे मीडिया वाले पीछे पड़ जाएंगे कि व्हाटएवर सोशल मीडिया पे ट्रोल्स विल गेट बिहाइंड मी व्हाटएवर. बट इफ आई गो टू कोर्ट आल्सो, व्हाट विल द कोर्ट डू? द कोर्ट कैन ओनली डू वन थिंग, इट कैन इशू नोटिस. इशू नोटिस मतलब ओके, आई टेक कॉग्निजेंस कि आपका ये केस बनता है, अब चलो लेट्स इशू नोटिस टू द अदर साइड टू कम एंड टेल देम, टेल अस their side of the story. Yeah. That is how justice happens. That will take 2 weeks, then, or maybe it takes one day. The other side will come and say, this is why we've imposed it. Then they will say, okay, file your pleadings in written. Then you will file that. So this case will then go on for many, many months.
But then it's also like one person fighting against the government, which is, we know how that ends up.
Yeah, so luckily, that is why there is, at least in India, even now, a great democratic tradition of organized dissent, right? Where you have NGOs, where you have organizations. Now, people might hate on those NGOs. Some of them, even I don't personally like, because I know usme bhi ego issues hi hote hain us NGO mein bhi. Aisa nahi koi doodh ke dhule mein. But at least that tradition exists where there are organizations like PUCL, People's Union for Civil Liberties. There are other organizations which fight day in and day out for your causes. And the problem is that, and this is world over, but PUCL and people like Prashant Bhushan, which the right loves to vilify, are the people who brought you Nota. They are the people who helped prosecute 2G scam, coal scam, all these scams which threw the Congress out. Right? Now, once their function is over, people have conveniently forgotten everything and now they are labeled as, arre, ye to anti-national hai, yaar. Ye is sarkar ke piche kaise yaar? So, which speaks again to that issue. कि आप laws ला सकते हैं, आप laws की debate भी कर सकते हैं. अब TV पे आपने हरीश सालवे को बिठा दिया है, who's saying CANRC is constitutional. Yeah, I can make I'm a lawyer. My job is to make arguments for both sides. I can make the argument it's constitutional. I can get another lawyer who with equal force and the power to convince can tell you it's unconstitutional.
I want to hear.
But what is the level of argument? So is that the right framework to analyze why people are angry? Can you say, oh, look, people are angry, but it's constitutional. People are not angry because of that. People are not scared because of that. People are scared, A, with reference to CA and RC, for instance, because they know, just like any reasonable person should know, that once you have, and there is enough evidence also, if you look at the Assam NRC, the way it was conducted, if you have money in this country, if you have clout in this country, if you have the government on your side in this country, I'm not saying the government is on anyone's side, that's for people to decide, right? You can get past, get around, circumvent, bypass, whatever word you want to use, any law, right? And if you don't have the government on your side, if you don't have buying power, money power, and you can't use the systems of corruption, bagera bagera, then you can't get a birth certificate made, you can't get so many documents. So people, and on top of that you add, one home minister says one thing, NRC aayega hi aayega chronology samajh lijiye. Next day, the prime minister with equal, with apparent complete ignorance of the fact that the home minister said it, says NRC to kabhi discuss hi nahi hua. Tweets delete ho rahi hain, tweets add ho rahi hain. तो ये मतलब खैर ये हर सरकार ही करती होगी मेरे हिसाब से बट टू कंप्लीटली इनविजिबलाइज दैट एंड देन से यार आप डर क्यों रहे हो अभी तो एनआरसी आया ही नहीं है
but the loudest people in the country aren't talking about it. Like the journalists aren't talking about it right
journalists,
like the journalism in India is dead right now like
journalists, उनको टर्म ही चेंज कर दो जर्नलिज्म तो वो है ही नहीं
एडवर्टाइजर्स
मतलब जो भी हैं वो एक ना एक साइड मतलब पे रहती हैं सो हाँ दे आर द लाउडेस्ट वॉइस इन द कंट्री एंड दे आर टॉकिंग अबाउट इट व्हाट दे आर सेइंग इज दैट सीए इज ग्रेट फॉर द कंट्री एनआरसी इज नॉट कमिंग प्रोटेस्टर्स शुड आइदर गो टू पाकिस्तान और दे आर ऑल एंटी
नेशनल शाइन बाग इज पाकिस्तान
एंड व्हाटएवर जो भी ये जो रिडक्टिव एनालॉजीज हैं बेसिकली दो इस साइड पे तो खैर इतने बैड एक्टर्स हैं दिस इज अ बैड एक्टर प्रॉब्लम जस्ट लाइक सी व्हेन यू इंप्लीमेंट अ लॉ व्हाट इज आई गेटिंग एट आई वाज सेइंग देयर इज अ लॉ You can analyze the law theoretically and say, law to theek hai bhai. Or you can analyze it and say, achha, ye law to theek hai, but isko implement kaise karoge? Demonetization concept to bada achha hai, GST concept to bada achha hai. But implementation mein problem aati hai na. To agar business wale log apni dukane band karke, pure desh mein GST ke against virodh kar sakte hain, aur unko koi anti-national nahi bol raha, kyunki GST ke andar implementation ki problem ho sakti hai, किसी को क्लैरिटी नहीं है तो CANRC के खिलाफ विच इज अ सिटीजनशिप लॉ इफ अ बंच ऑफ पीपल फील दैट वी डोंट हैव इनफ क्लैरिटी दिस लॉ सीम्स लाइक इट माइट टेक अवे समथिंग फ्रॉम अस वो क्यों एंटी नेशनल है दिस इज माय फंडामेंटल प्रॉब्लम नोबडी वांट्स टू टॉक अबाउट इट एंड इन दैट द ओनली पोजिशन आई टुक वॉज विद द वीडियो दैट आई डिड ऑन CANRC वॉज प्रिंसिपली वेरी सिंपली दैट द गवर्नमेंट should come out and actively clarify.
Clarify, yep.
Instead of contradicting itself, instead of making it sound like यहाँ तो बात ही नहीं हुई, यहाँ तो कुछ देखने के लिए नहीं है, और जो देख रहे हैं, जिनको डर लग रहा है, वो पाकिस्तान से. तो आप खुद ही problem को और you are making the problem worse.
Because the only reference point that people have of NRC is Assam NRC, right? And yeah. the stats from that were preposterous, both economically and socially, and like the people what they went through. How
not just preposterous. If you look at, so I never use the word NRC separately. I always say CA, NRC, and now you can join NPR to it also. Now, if chronology ko samajhne ki baat hui thi, toh chronology samajh lo, aur kyun logon mein thoda dar ho sakta hai.
Which is valid, yeah.
Some people, main manta hun, kai logon ko bas, some people might have just joined the bandwagon, I agree. But people fear, look at Assam NRC happened. Us NRC mein 19 lakh logon ka naam nikla, theek hai, which were suspicious citizens. उसमें से ये निकला कि मेजॉरिटी ऑफ देम वर हिंदूज एंड सम व्हाटएवर द नंबर माइट वेरी लोग बोलते हैं 5 लाख मुस्लिम्स 14 लाख हिंदूज व्हाटएवर नॉन मुस्लिम्स एंड देन सीएए केम व्हेन सीए इट केम इन द वेक ऑफ दिस रेवलेशन ओ माय गॉड तो लोगों को लगा पीपल मेड द एलिगेशन दैट अच्छा सो दिस इज बेसिकली द गवर्नमेंट ट्राइंग टू नाउ सेव इटसेल्फ बिकॉज इट्स वोट बैंक इज बीइंग किक्ड आउट And so CA has been brought in to save from those 19 lakhs or 15 lakh people who either otherwise will also be detained because the CA allows ki agar aap Hindu hain, basically non-Muslim hain aur Bangladesh se aaye hain, Pakistan, Afghanistan included hai, Bangladesh se aaye hain, to aapko hum citizenship de denge. To ab obviously baat hai ki at least insofar as Assam NRC is concerned, it is beyond doubt that the only people left will be these people.
These people, yep.
Who are Muslims from Bangladesh.
Absolutely.
That is the clear effect of it. Now they're only immigrants, mana. But that is where this whole thing happened. So that is where the idea of thinking that, oh, so if an NRC has already happened, and there if you are found to be a Hindu, you will get saved by CAA, but if you are Muslim, it will not happen. That is where it was born. Uske andar fir complexity ye aa gayi ki aap already agar citizen hai to kyun dar rahe hain? Assam ki to baat hi alag thi. Usme logon ka fear alag hai. Usme logon ka fear hai, dekho, humko, we have understood the government's intention. At least that's what they like to believe. That if the intention from what I've just stated was this, then the intention moving forward will also be like this. And that is corroborated by the hundreds of statements that ridiculous people like Raja Singh, who is a BJP functionary, president, I think, of some state, make on a daily basis that Hindus need to be armed, so on and so forth. So it feeds in to that idea. It's very understandable. Now, in that, you add the idea, the complexity of illegal immigrants versus citizens. That is now the new defense. Ki yaar, aap kyun dar rahe ho? Aap to citizen ho. Ye to illegal immigrants ke liye hai. Aur NRC aisa ho bhi sakta hai, na ho, ab to ye bolna shuru kar diya. The problem there is implementation, which is what we are talking about. We don't know it, but we speculate that the motive of the government is what it was with the Assam NRC. That is what some people fear. The protesters. We also know that in India, all laws are implemented in a manner where there is no accountability. Jaiye aap court. Ab un dono ko aap saath combine karo to aapko samajh mein to aane lagta hai na log sadak pe kyun utar rahe hain. Aap samajh to sakte hain us baat ko. Ya aap yahi bolenge ki ye sab Pakistani hai ya jihadi hai. Ye nahi bolenge na. You can't simply say that. So I think that was the issue. That is the issue. That is why people are afraid. And in my personal point of view, the government should come out and issue a very clear statement. Ki hum NRC nahi kar rahe hain.
That should be the case because it's because of that.
Yeah, hum kar rahe hain. Yeah, bolo hum kar rahe hain. Aap ye mat bolo na ki aaj decide nahi hua hai.
Nahi, ek banda kuch aur bol raha hai like Amit Shah comes in say like
which is I guess which is by design I'm guessing I don't know or by unwitting position but that seems to be the issue as of now with CA and NRC. And so there is a bad actor problem on the way we deal with it. So that's what I feel.
I feel they play good cop bad cop. Amit Shah goes all radical and then Modi ji comes out like Modi doesn't give any interviews and stuff like that, right? So he doesn't have questions to answer. He just have ideas to fucking broadcast, right? So he just comes in and he's like, "Aaj ye hoga, humko darne ki zarurat nahi hai, bhai saare hum ye hain, we're all secular and all that stuff." Then Amit Shah just talks to another audience. Then Anurag Thakur, right?
Yeah.
He comes out, talks to another audience.
The Imran Hashmi of BJP, but. anyway, so yeah, I mean that's that you and I mean people are smart enough to know this themselves, yeah. You know,
apparently not.
No, I think people get carried away in the flow of it all. People think people think from a position of identity ki meri team kaun si hai main wahan se sochna shuru karunga I will argue from a position not to a position
yep
I will use my intelligence I will use my knowledge I will use my confidence to not learn anything by and large on these issues but to argue a predetermined position which I have which in turn is basically a function of meri team ye hai aapki team wo hai अब डिबेट करते हैं तब वहीं से आता है ये डिबेट कल्चर 24 घंटे जो अर्णब गोस्वामी जैसे लोग जर्नलिस्ट तो नहीं कह सकते जो पूरे दिन टीवी पे करते हैं दैट इज आल्सो दिस ओनली द आर्ग्यूमेंटेटिव इंडियन इज फाइन बट इट डज नॉट शो यू द ट्रू पिक्चर व्हाट इट हैज बिकम नाउ इज आर्ग्यूमेंटेटिव इंडियन बट नॉट टुवर्ड्स समथिंग कंस्ट्रक्टिव और टुवर्ड्स अ मीटिंग ऑफ द माइंड्स मोस्ट पीपल आर आर्ग्यूइंग कि I am arguing this position for the motion. You are arguing against the motion.
And that's
and we are fighting.
Isn't that what's been taught to us, like, always? Just school mein, like, you go, tumhara ye topic hai, tumhara ye topic hai, just fucking fight. Just, you have absolutely. To win. You have to win. There is no conversation, dialogue happening. There's no... I mean, I can't understand why there was never... Like, podcast should have been the first, right? Because it's easy to do. Should have been the easy thing to do, right? Like to just to sit people sit and talk. Editing should have been the second step.
Right.
But we jumped sort of because I think it was over dramatized.
No, because it's fun.
Dramatizing.
Yeah, people have an intrinsic need. So there's a brilliant study, I've forgotten where it was, which basically tells you why or what people click on. Right. So they analyze the click stream of hundreds of millions of people and they realized ki the reason. Now, it's a chicken and the egg thing, but I think it's firmly rooted in our...
Where did we end?
You ended on the whole thing about what do you call...
Koi nahi sun raha tha yaar.
Nahi, I was listening to it. Are yaar, you ended when you...
CANRC.
CANRC, you said Amit Shah wala thing. I mean, he comes out, he has his own... I mean, that's also part of the whole...
I think we concluded it.
We sort of had just finished.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you were talking about like even that's part of you know whatever strategy or thing that they had.
You said something. Okay. Ho jaye. Okay. I'll continue from there.
You
can
just take it.
Okay. All right. For the second time, the card got full because देखो बातें तो हैं बहुत करने को. So if you're listening on, if you're listening anywhere on the podcast platform, just. Might be a little jump and if you're watching you understand right so, stuff happens okay anyway so we're coming back now since we've talked a lot about politics a lot about everything
which we want to avoid
actually but it's nice it's important right and I want to talk about so many things but I think we're running out of time and but I will just touch on that one personal story that I really want to talk about I really want to know because jab se tumne wo bola na ki bhai aisa तीन हफ्ते तक मुझे पता नहीं था वो इन्फ्लुएंसर है टाइप्स आई एम लाइक व्हिच रॉक डू यू लिव अंडर मैन लाइक व्हाट द हेल या
वेल आई लिव अंडर अ वेरी बिग एंड हेवी रॉक यार और आई यूज्ड टू सो आई एम ऑब्वियसली आई एम वन पार्ट ऑफ अ होल थिंग सो आई कैन ओनली शेयर व्हाट आई थिंक आई विल बी शेयरिंग बट टू दिस स्टोरी आई डिडंट नो सो आफ्टर वी हैड मेट I just thought she said something to the effect that she's a video producer. I mean, हाँ होगा यार जो मतलब video production में कुछ. So I always wanted to be like I always wanted to be a filmmaker. And I, you know that I wanted to do a podcast for a very long time, but I went into law very reluctantly, stayed in law school very reluctantly, so on and so forth. And so when I met her, I was obviously very interested in what she does, but I never bothered getting. Very finely into it because she said if I remember correctly something to the effect that she works for Times and you know she's a video producer so I said okay we'll keep these conversations for later but we had such a great time generally talking about XYZ things that we never hit the topic
I'm so sorry to cut you but now I know what to tell my relatives what I do
video producer
I always used to say I'm a talent they're like kahan par hai I'm like what the fuck
main hu talent main andar ka talent
okay
so exactly so it never came up And I was not on Instagram or anything earlier on. Well, I had an account, but it had been... I had only formed it so I could keep in touch with people from Berkeley when I had come back. But then, you know, we found other means to stay in touch and I band kar diya. I still hadn't reopened it. Then I was sitting with a friend of mine, talking to her and...
This is 2 weeks in or 3 weeks in?
This is about, about 2-3 weeks in. And this friend is very nosy. Sitara, shout out to you. Who's a great chef, by the way. Anyway, so she took...
Can you be my friend, please?
Yeah, yeah. He needs chef friends.
I need chef friends.
So she snatched it from my hand, my phone, and she says, are you talking to XYZ and Dolly? And I said, yeah. And I said, she said, do you know who she is? I said...
Apparently.
I'm talking to her. And so she said, no, she's whatever, really famous. Oh my God, I can't believe it. Who are you to talk to her? Blah, blah, blah. So, all legitimate points, right? And then she told me that she's this, influencer. And I think that's when it became, like, that word, since the day it came into my lexicon from that day, it has not left. So, how the word guru came into the Oxford Dictionary and then everybody, basically, I didn't know. And so then she told me that she's an influencer. And then I went back to her and I said, oh, so you're like some famous person. And she was, obviously she's so down to earth that she was like, haha, whatever. She played it off. And then I was in 2 months, like, should I watch her stuff? Which I could have done. But then we decided that it would be perhaps better of me to just not see it for a little while. And then videos were rationed
to me. Why? Wait, backstab.
No, I just felt that it's better to get to know a person than to...
Before having... Yeah. Acha, take care.
And then videos were rationed to me. And then I saw them and I loved them. And then slowly, like, my sister also knows her and, like, you know, so everybody, whoever I met knew her except me. So that's when I realized I live under a rock. Sure. And then finally, I came back to Instagram to ride on the wave of her populism. actually, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm being very honest about it, I came back to it thinking that, I'd like to know this person's online existence because it's such a big part of her life. And then I realized,
this is
like really big.
The part of the world.
So then, obviously, as is the case with inquisitive people, people were writing to me also, all sorts of good and bad messages. And it was, I found it fun. Meko to mazay lene. So I also got into it. Now I'm back on Instagram. And then I thought that, okay, if I'm back, then I might as well, because I talk politics all day ad nauseum, as you've seen today. Right, and I make very little sense when I'm talking, but hopefully when I'm, curating something, I can, then I decide that I should do this one thing where I look at the news, because I spend a lot of days in court where I'm just sitting waiting for my matter. So I will take a story and I'll, condense it down and I'll post it. And basically so on and so forth. But coming back to your question, I did not know. And when I did come to know, I made it a point to then sort of ration out the content and figure out, how we do personally over getting enamored. And that's completely understandable, I'm sure. Like,
makes sense, yeah.
For her, it's such a... She's known as her online personality.
Even, even for me. So the first time I met Dolly, because I had obviously...
I'm very scared talking about all of this. I'm just saying. I'm talking about it. Really? But I'm sorry, Dolly. Because, I just feel that it's not just my agency involved here, right?
Yeah.
But,
we can...
But go on, Vishnu, why don't you talk, you 22-year-old...
Who has a whole career ahead of you.
Co-worker who has a career in the same industry. Why don't you continue talking about this and I'll just...
The first time I met her, I loved her and I still do. And that's gonna be about it. No, but for real.
I'm kidding.
So, I had like the whole perception of it because she is so funny and... This is what I realize now as well, because now that I meet people think, oh, you're not, that extra like you are right? And I thought Dolly will be like very diggly, hi, how are you? And she's a very calm person, right? She's
extremely
calm and collected person. She'll be like, and she's very humble and down to earth, right?
Yeah.
And both of these things combined, you almost see a monk, right?
Yeah.
And the first time I met her, I'm like, hi. And she's like, hi, and she's super nice to me. And she was actually the one I gave my audition to, sort of.
She told me that story.
It was a really bad audition.
You came from Chandigarh.
Yeah.
That's when I came to know that you're 22.
Can you tell me that?
Oh my God, I'm so much
what
older.
What did she tell you?
Nothing, she told me that only.
What she told.
That you came from, for some audition.
Yeah.
I think Santu wanted some audition.
Yeah.
And she was generally speaking in praise of Santu as well, that you came for the audition and then you had never really done something in such an organized setup.
Yeah.
See, for me also, this is really perturbing with all these lights and stuff. But because I do this for a living day in and day out, talk rubbish either in front of a judge or otherwise, so I'm still comfortable. But, and this is freewheeling, right? So I can understand. So she said that you came and then you had not a very great audition because of the very organized nature, but Santu persisted. Then you did something in Santu's office, I think, with Dolly, some improv.
Here only. Yeah. I did it here with Dolly. And Dolly actually told me, like, this is how you do it. Right. She was so nice to me. Like, I literally owe this job to her and Santu.
Ah, right. Yeah. So she, very typical of her, was just like, oh, Santu really trusted him. Hmm. And, you know, and then look at him today. And yeah, look at you today.
There's nothing to look at me today.
I mean, you're doing great, yeah. You're doing, whatever you do, you're doing well. That's all that matters.
Anyway, from there. But yeah. I think that's a nice note, light note to end it upon.
Yeah,
100%.
Unless you wanna. No, I can't talk, kar sakta
talk about something.
No, I don't want to talk about anything. I just. I was just surprised that you're just 22 years old and you're doing this. So, because I have wanted to. I have many, many unfinished. Not half-hearted.
Mm.
Half-hearted attempts, but. You know, like inside, I really want to do a podcast. I really want to start something off. I thought of myself as many things apart from being a lawyer. So when this opportunity came up, I was like, you know, how we started.
Mm.
It was really amazing that you said that you want to do this long form, unedited thing, because I really, really like your content, which I saw yesterday. The podcast. I'm sorry. Yaar, I'm 22 साल का
that was so funny.
ना कॉलेज जाता
हूँ. That was so funny. And that was actually funny.
क्या करूँ? मैं 30 साल का हूँ, जो तेरे को पता भी नहीं था. तो मैं देखने की कोशिश करता हूँ जितनी भी चीजें मैं समझ सकता हूँ. But this is really good. What you're doing is excellent, and you do it well. And you're so young. You're such a long way to go. Look at me. I'm talking
just
like
just
and you know. And I think you'll go far. I think you'll go far. Is what I'm saying. You know, someone who.
Yeah. Nice.
So that's all. And it was great talking to you. And more power to you.
Thanks a lot for coming then.
Thank you so
much. Iska part 2 karna padega, because I think 60% of the things that aise kar liye kafi cover yaar. But yeah.
So bacha kya hai usme?
Bacha ek Chinese man falling in US for coughing.
Is note pe mat khatam kare. Chinese man falling in US bol ke khatam karega to fir to ye mera joke nahi hai, iska joke hai Vishnu. All hate should be directed at him.
But anyway, thanks a lot for coming. Really, thank you.
Pleasure.
All right. So, thanks everyone for watching or listening, if you're watching or listening this. If you're watching, you can also listen to this whole thing while you're driving, while you're in the gym, while you're doing whatever the fuck you do on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and other podcasting platforms. And if you want to watch it, if you want to watch me and Manu have this exact conversation, come on YouTube and I'll have other guests as well. And most likely, a setup bahut zyada mehnat se Adil sir ne jo DOP hai aur Shubhi aur hamare sound dada, unhone bahut sahi kara hai. So, yeah, props to them and thanks a lot for coming.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Teen bar, do bar ho chuka.
Koi baat nahi, kar liya. Arre, koi nahi.
Hamari first handshake kitni awkward thi aaj. Did you realize? It was like this.
No.
Yay!
I delete all these things from my memory.
Right. Now it's gonna stay with you. Anyway, thanks for watching.
Bye guys.
Thank you. Urjo? Thank you. See, prop padhiya tha.
Huh?